This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres on the counter here into the Utah zone. Osland drops it. Roseanne back to Osland for a shot, and that's high. Roseanne tips it in front. They score! Noah Osland parked in front of the net. Picks up his first, and the Sabres tie the game at one.
Cheers heard from Rochester, Minnesota, all the way across the Atlantic to his homeland of Sweden. Really? My guy! He finally got it last night. Noah Osland.
Pick Kessel Ring for any time goal scorer, but this is one that you should be kicking yourself for not picking Noah Osland.
He knows I've picked him countless times. He knows I'm in his corner. It's all good.
Well, it's not just the goal. Let's take a look at Noah's game and what he was able to accomplish. Him and Roseanne were
Why don't
really
we find his
again.
Dad? Where was his dad when this happened?
Yeah, where was his dad? His dad was probably watching it on TV, right? And it's the middle of the night over there in Europe, so probably went to sleep, got up, made himself a coffee, and boom. There you go. And he got to see his kid play a lot. Like even late in the game, third period, last minute, like you've got Austin, you got Roseanne on the ice. You've got Lindy Ruff was really trusting them on the defensive side of the game, and they created offense and they were quick. That was a very big positive of the game last night. Maybe why I was so excited after the game, despite the fact they lost 2-1 in overtime, and it's five straight games going to OT and you're, 1-4 in those, but you're still 5-1-4 in the last 10. Still really good, but I was excited about what Osland and Roseanne have been able to do. Now Roseanne for a couple of games and Osland in that one.
The associate general manager of the Sabres and Amerks GM, Jason Karmanos, joins us at the bottom of the hour to discuss the development of those two players and certainly where the Amerks are right now, which is home to Syracuse tonight, part of a really good test week as they take on the Crunch tonight and the Penguins on Friday. Both of those games are at home. Then they're at Hershey on Sunday. So collectively, all three of those opponents are pretty staunch within the conference right now. So more so the first two home games, and the Amerks themselves off to a 7-3 start with Devon Levi getting another turn tonight to possibly improve to 6-0 on the season. The Sabres, though, as you mentioned, franchise tying, fifth straight game to overtime. They are 3-0-4 in the last seven. Incredibly, though, not to push too much on this because it is November 5th, there's 10 teams in the Eastern Conference separated by 2 points, and nobody is playing below NHL 500 right now.
And the two teams at 500 are two teams you probably didn't expect to be at 500 are the Rangers and the Florida Panthers. Everybody else is above 500, and there's nobody below, like you said.
I think my deliberations on the Rangers were likely to continue from preseason to midseason. I just don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah, very fair.
But no one could have written the script that they'd be sitting on 500 without a home win through six games at 0-5-1, being shut out in four of the six games. So that can be parked for a little later, probably in the week with, you know, Dregs or Shayna or whomever. But my point here is, what are we to make of all this? That yes, the Sabres are picking up points. They're in a massive group of teams that is basically unseparated at the moment in the East. Is it like, and in other years you would say, yeah, like you're glad to be picking up a point. You kind of need to be a little more distant from some of these struggling teams, no?
You do, but I'm going to do the glass half full situation here is that you are staying in very much striking distance. And look, Colorado is what, 8-1-4, right? Like the Colorado Avalanche are rolling. They've only got one regulation loss. Have they lost games in overtime? Yeah. If you don't, and it's hard to not take in consideration the first three games of the season where the Sabres went 0-3 and lost and scored only two goals.
Right.
But take those three away. You're 5-1-4. There's no, nobody's saying like you can't win the next three and be 8-1-4 in the last 13. And all of a sudden you're like, that's what Colorado's is at. And right. Colorado's a fantastic team. So the first three games of the year kind of put a little bit of a shade over that 5-1-4, saying that, man, if instead of 5-1-4, if it was 7-1-2, like that would be like such a crazy good stretch. And that's just winning a couple of overtime games. And the two that I think has slipped away from the Sabres, for me, yeah, you had the Boston one where Husnadinov came down and you had the Toronto one. But it's the Columbus one where you miss your coverage in the zone and last night where you miss your coverage in the zone. Those were two that I feel like are very correctable. And I wish they would have been corrected in the spot that they wouldn't have given up those two points.
All right, so two things to react to from the players and coaches last night. Noah Ostlund's first goal, it allows Buffalo to get a point. Here's Lindy Ruff.
You know, I think last game he played previous to this one was one of his best. I like how that line played. I thought for the most part that was probably our biggest threat usually was when those guys were on the ice. So it was a good night. I thought Noah's game, you know, defensively played really well, helped us get out of our end in a hurry, and a well-deserved goal. I mean, really, we need that. You know, when you look at the number of people out, you know, two-thirds of what was your top line, you know, we're kind of moving some pieces around. We need their skill. We need their scoring ability that they've shown in the minors. This is the next step for them. This is the opportunity they're waiting for that, you know, all of a sudden they get 14, 15 minutes. And I think they've taken advantage of it. Both guys have played extremely well for us.
Both guys being Roseanne and Ostlund.
Yes.
And yes, they are missing Benson. They're missing Norris, Danforth, Zucker, Kulik, and Kozak. And we'll provide an update a little later in the show as to the likely return of any of them tomorrow with St. Louis coming into town. But the fact of the matter is, we could be staring at a sixth straight overtime game for Buffalo tomorrow when St. Louis comes in. There's just very little to choose from between any opponent across the league right now. I mentioned the Eastern Conference. You look at the West. Look at the number of teams, the number of overtime losses
that
so many teams in the West have right now. So this is not an Eastern Conference thing. Like, everybody's picking up points. The Sabres just have to figure out a way to do better beyond regulation time.
Yeah, Colorado.
3-3 is about winning one-on-one battles. You know, I think we had our chance. Tuck went down, and then our coverage wasn't good enough. We lost coverage again on the high cycle, and we let Keller walk in. He shouldn't get that easy a look. I mean, he can get a look off of, you know, maybe our opportunity going the other way. I thought we should have stopped in front of their net. At the other end, we would have got a change. We'd even had fresh bodies on.
You know, there's a lot of points up for grabs in overtime, and I don't want to be too, you know, pointed or specific, but I do think that there is a reason. And I think that, it's just like every other part of the game. It's like D-zone coverage. It's like your forecheck. It's like your power play. It's the same principles, you know. It's a game. Honestly, 3-on-3 is a game of risk management. That's all that it is. And I think it's a lot about feel and it's a lot about patience. And, I think there's sometimes that urge to end the game. But really, it's just like playing 5-on-5. You just want nothing to happen until they make a mistake and then you capitalize. That's kind of the name of the game. But we're going to get better at it. We're getting better at it. We're going to continue to grind and we're going to continue to put our best foot forward.
Man, even if I had not been sitting next to you when Lindy Ruff was speaking last night, I would have thought of you instantly based on the Ruff comment we just heard. You have been adamant about players stopping, forcing a goaltender to freeze a puck in situations exactly like overtime last night.
Yeah, and I went back and looked at it again because Alex Tuck takes the shot, but he's already fading away in the shot, so he's curling back. I actually think that McLeod was pretty close, and he made a beeline towards the goal, but it was a really good play by Vemelka and Sergachev calling for the puck. Mm-hmm. Like, McLeod was almost there. I think if this is a 5-on-5 situation, Vemelka keeps the puck because McLeod was pressuring him, but Vemelka took a chance. Knowing it's OT, I don't want to face off. That's that. The coverage, look, I mentioned the Columbus game, the coverage in overtime. So it's man on man. And Lindy Ruff was not happy about Yuri Kulik's decision in the Columbus game to vacate Werenski and go after a Columbus player, and that opened the door for Werenski to go to Miles Wood. So now I'm thinking in that situation, like Lindy Ruff comes in, guys, 3-on-3, man on man. You got your guy, you got your guy, everybody. So when Utah comes into the Sabre zone, Alex Tuck as Clayton Keller and Jack Quinn as Sergachev. But when Clayton Keller goes to the top of the zone and makes the circle and loses Tuck, I think Jack Quinn was thinking, again, like this is an overcorrection, but was thinking, it's man on man. It's man on man. And Tucky's going to come back and recover on Keller, and I have to slide over because my guy Sergachev's over there. But hockey's not played like baseball. Ball hit to the right field, you throw two bases ahead of the lead runner, whatever. You have to read the situation. And if you're the last guy back and your man has lost a step in his coverage on the player, you can't just open the door. I feel like Jack Quinn was too much of a gentleman, like open the door for Keller to say, go ahead, because I have my guy. It may be an overcorrection from what had been drilled into them, like 3-on-3, man on man, stay with your man. That was the mistake that was made right there.
So they fall last night. They've got St. Louis in tomorrow. We'll have more on the Sabres from practice and obviously with Jason Karmanos, the associate GM, at the bottom of the hour. Of course, it's a busy week at KeyBank Center because even after the Sabres homestand ends tomorrow night, we have the rivalry series here on Saturday. Note the start time. It is a 6 p.m. start between Canada and the United States. Women's hockey, great rivalry. Get your tickets now. It is going to be outstanding action in advance of everything that is to come between these great rivals in the women's game. Sarah Nurse from Team Canada joins us. She's gearing up for game one of the rivalry series in Cleveland tomorrow. Sarah, it's great to have you with us. It's an incredible time of year, I'm assuming, for you based on PWHL getting ready in a couple of weeks and Olympics on the horizon and, of course, the rivalry series.
Yeah, it feels like we're sprinting right now. So we're very excited to get things started with, obviously, NHL season, a lot of, youth hockey, minor hockey already starting. So we're excited that our time's coming.
How different is it knowing that now you get to know these girls that you're playing against in the rivalry series? Like, we had Haley Skamura on last week, and you played with her in Toronto last year. Now you're going to play in the rivalry series against her, the Olympics. Like, you're looking across the ice, and you've got some teammates that you're going to be playing with. So how is that different every year now that you're getting the rivalry series going?
I think it's cool because we just push each other. You want to play against the best at all times so that you can ultimately be the best. So to be able to be happy for your teammates who make their other respective national teams is really awesome. But at the end of the day, we do want to win, but we want to play against the best for sure.
Historically, what has the rivalry series meant, especially in buildups to the Olympics?
I think it gives us just such meaningful games against each other. We've had such a heated rivalry and obviously some big matchups in World Championships and the Olympics as well. So getting to gear up against them, we know what to expect. We get to kind of scout them. They scout us. And I think by the time, you know, big games come, there are no real surprises. And I think that we just ultimately have to, you know, have that competitive edge and just really want it more.
So the emphasis on physical play in the PWHL has been great. Like all the physicality, mostly like along the boards, like there's no open ice hitting, but there's still some good physical play. And it's carried on to the rivalry series, but how are you guys adjusting for the Olympics, which may have a little bit of a different look when it comes to the physical play?
Yeah, it is definitely interesting because you have to, when we get to a world championship or Olympics, like you do have to tighten up. They don't let a lot of things slide. And so having that physicality is a huge part of what we do in the PWHL. And there's always been physicality with Canada and US rivalries, but you do have to be a little more careful, a little more intentional about when you do make contact and make sure that it is legal because, you know, we don't want to end up in the box because, you know, whether it's our team or their team, we're both very good on the power play and winning that special teams battle is super important.
For obvious and proper reasons, we focus on this rivalry, Canada-USA. But when it does get to Olympic time again, you welcome the world and its opponents. How much have you seen in the growth of competition and what do you expect moving forward here in the next few months?
Yeah, I look at the other countries and I mean, they've all evolved and grown so much in the last 4 years since 2022, our last Olympics. And I mean, like a team like Czechia, they are probably one of the most physical teams in the world, actually, the way that they play. Finland and Switzerland are always so incredibly skilled. And Japan just seems to be like very smart. They're like kind of pests out there. They're hard to play against. And so we kind of know what to expect from each team. But I think that each team has really elevated their game. They've learned from, you know, other countries and us and the Americans as well. And I think that the future of women's hockey across the globe is in a really special place.
You're preparing for your third Olympic Games. In your first one in 2018 in Pyeongchang, you got to score your first goal in an Olympic game. What was that like? Like that feeling that, oh my gosh, I'm at the Olympics and I scored a goal. And take us through the whole situation.
Yeah, it was really cool, obviously. Me and my two line mates at the time, like we were 22 years old. We were the youngest ones on the team. We played in the fourth line. And I just remember we're playing the Americans. You're kind of nervous. And we'd stepped over the blue line and I just heard like our coaches yelling, like, dump the puck. Like you have to get the puck in. And I had the puck on my stick and I shot it. And you know, when you just want to get a shot on net, so there's a whistle, the first line can come on, take the face off. The puck came off of my stick and I saw how high it went. And I said, oh my gosh, if this rims out the other side and starts their breakout, like we're not seeing the ice again. And it went top corner. it was a crazy moment for me and my family and my parents, because obviously playing at the Olympics is one goal, but then scoring at the Olympics is something that, you know, you just don't forget. And so that was a really special goal, a really cool moment.
And then an all-star in the next Olympic tournament. Amazing,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, that was really cool.
So you reference being so young then. Mm-hmm. You're 30. Like, where do you feel in the hierarchy of the star power within the game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that, like, me being 30, like, I definitely am one of the more veteran players on the team, but I still have players like a Poulin and a Spooner and Jet, like, who I just feel like, they're older than me, not to be crazy, but I just feel like I still look up to them so much. And so I don't even feel like I'm at like the top, that veteran status. I feel like almost like a sophomore, a junior in college, you know?
Nice.
But it's really cool to have the young ones come in who are like bright eyed and bushy tailed, ready to go into their first Olympics. They bring so much energy, so much skill, so much talent. The game has changed so much. And so to see them really come in and own who they are and their strengths, it's been awesome to watch.
Now, you mentioned your family being excited for your goal and the skills and the talent. You come from a very a talented, athletic family. Obviously, a couple of cousins, Darnell in Edmonton, and Kia playing in the WNBA. So, what's that like? I saw you at the finals last year, right? You were there supporting your cousin. What's that like having other people in your family being on the big stage as well?
It's so fun. I mean, it's something that we all dreamed about when we were kids. And it's funny, we never really competed with each other. We always did different sports and we weren't really against each other, up against each other. And so I think we've always supported each other, even though we don't get to see each other super often. But from afar, like, I just know that they're killing it, doing their thing. And I mean, I'm so proud of them. Like, seeing Darnell in the Stanley Cup Finals was like an absolute dream. And so it's really cool whenever they get to do some pretty amazing things. And like I said, we're all cheering on each other from different parts of the world. And so it's pretty cool. I mean, for parents, my grandparents, it's just really special.
Do you have some young stars in the game that you truly just admire and love watching right now?
Pardon?
Do you have like young star players in the game that you just admire? You referenced some of the older players that you still look up to, but are there young stars entering that you absolutely love to watch play?
Yeah, I think that like the talent, like I mentioned, has just gone through the roof. I look at like somebody on our team, like a Daryl Watts or like a Chloe Primorano, who, Chloe is like, I think she's born like 2008 or 2007. And so the way she like commands the puck, the blue line, the way she's able to skate with the puck, find her shot, I think is so impressive. And then somebody like Daryl is just like this natural goal scorer. It's like she has the puck the puck is attached to her stick like a magnet. And I just look at them and the way that they train and the way that they hone their individual skills, I think is really impressive.
Now, obviously, the game has changed, but not just on the ice, off the ice as well. You're, what do you say, queen vibe only on Instagram? That's like your description, 140,000 followers. Like, that's pretty major. How do you like that aspect of, you know, being a role model, but also being on social media and trying to inspire young women?
I think it's just a way to connect to people really everywhere. I think through hockey's been this incredible vehicle that I've been able to use to put myself in different rooms and situations with different people and have different opportunities. And I think that it's been an incredible ride with hockey. And I want to make sure that hockey is shown throughout the world and it becomes this global superpower. And not only men playing hockey, but girls playing hockey, people mm-hmm. different racial identities and backgrounds being welcomed into the game. And so I've just loved to use my platform to make it an inclusive space. And so it's been a lot of fun over the last few years.
So the rivalry series has games this week in Cleveland and Buffalo, and then it caps in Edmonton in the second week of December. And in the midst of it, the PWHL season starts on the weekend of November 21st. So we're just over 2 weeks away, and it's a new mm-hmm. venture, and you're in Vancouver for that. What are the feelings there for you, having had this journey in the game, and yet this is like another almost, you know, it's another first, right?
Yeah. This year has been completely different than any year in the past. I mean, to be able to have a rivalry series still, and then obviously going into the PWHL season and then going into an Olympic Games, like it's just completely changed the landscape of what we're doing. We're excited about PWHL finally starting. I'm excited to get to Vancouver. I feel like I've been talking about this for months and months and months and months. And so to finally get there next week, I'm excited to hit the ground running with the team, with our staff, and really just like immerse ourselves into that community. And then, yeah, I mean, getting ready to gear up for a couple rivalry series games are going to be, like I said, very meaningful, very big in our team's development before going to the Olympics. And then ultimately, the Olympics is, you know, that big tournament that we all want to be in Milan this year. I think that's super exciting. Everybody has a lot of family coming over and it'll just be a really great time and a way to cap off a pretty transformative 4 years in women's hockey.
Now, it's kind of funny because our show is called Sabres Live. And, you know, maybe you were always destined to be on the show because you played for the Stoney Creek Sabres as well. So it's like, so did you guys have the Sabres blue and gold? Like, how did that work when you were a kid playing there?
We were actually green and gold. So we were close. We were green and gold. But yeah, I played for the Stoney Creek Sabres. My first ever like house league hockey team, I was on the Sabres. And the first ever NHL game I think I went to was in Buffalo. So okay. I mean,
perfect.
There's a lot of connection there. There you go.
Amazing. How did you get into it the first time? Like what drove you to play house league minor hockey?
Yeah, I just love to skate. From the moment my parents put me on the ice, like it was at a local like pond by our house. Like it wasn't at an arena, but I just loved to skate. I took to it very quickly and I was good at it. And so it was figure skating or hockey. And my dad loved hockey. So he put me in hockey. And I once he taught me the rules and were like, don't just do twirls at center ice. Like you have to put the puck in the net. Once I figured that out, then we were like off to the races. I was ready to go. And I really fell in love with the game. I just had fun with it for years and years and years. And I still do.
That's awesome. How intense or hard was training camp? Because you guys have been training now, you know, for a little while and you got to do some fun stuff. But how intense and how hard was training camp?
Yeah, it's been very intense. It feels like it's never ending at this point. it's so excited because we finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we've been training very hard. We've had a block in Calgary. We had a block in Toronto and then a block in Montreal also. They actually altered training camps so that we could go to the World Series in Toronto. And so we hopped on a bus while we were in Montreal to go to.
I saw Tessa buddy surfing on top of you guys, like a good friend of the show, Tessa Bonham, got to really enjoy that.
Yeah, so that was very cool. I mean, we love Tessa. She's always a hoot. But yeah, training has been super intense, but we're finally excited to kind of like deload and get ready into that performance stage because I mean, we play tomorrow. So it's pretty exciting.
Good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you so much for the time and insight and what promises to be just another incredible year for the game.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Saturday night, 6 p.m., Rivalry Series, USA-Canada, game two of the Rivalry Series as the first one goes tomorrow in Cleveland. Definitely check it out. Tickets available, keybankcenter.com. Really great that we've got this series presented by Discover here in Buffalo this Saturday night. As for the Sabres, home tomorrow, throwback Thursday, they're in black and red. Looks like Luukkonen could be the guy based on practice today. But Marty, most importantly, Kozak in up front and a different look to the lines real quick.
A different look to the lines and something we discussed a little bit in the postgame show last night is maybe trying to get Tage Thompson going with different players. And so Ryan McLeod, Alex Tuck, and Tage Thompson are forming a line. Roseanne and Austin are still together, but with Jack Quinn instead of Peyton Krebs. And then you put Krebs with Greenway and Josh Doan, which they have that work mentality. And I think we'll have a really solid identity. And Kosak goes back to the middle with Dunn and Malenstein, which pushes Mason Gertsen outside of the top 12 right now. But I really like this configuration of the lines with Thompson, McLeod, and Tuck as your top line.
Right, and the Austin line that you're seeing with Roseanne and Quinn did skate at almost 6 minutes together last night at 5-on-5. We've got a road crew party going in Nashville this year, and it's going to be unlike any other because it happens on a holiday Monday afternoon. It's Monday, January the 19th, and the Sabres will simultaneously be in Carolina. So it's a watch party, road crew party. We're going to enjoy the game, and then, of course, the Sabres are in Nashville to take on the Predators the very next night. Can't wait for you to join us for this one. Proceeds support the Sabres Foundation. Secure your spot, sabres.com/roadcrew. Amerks are making a big impact on the Sabres already this season. Jason Carmanos is next on Sabres Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres have points in 7 straight. They look to make it 8 tomorrow as they are home to St. Louis. We're looking forward to your child's hockey journey starting right here in Buffalo. Our Learn to Play program includes a full set of gear, 6 weeks of instruction, and a ticket voucher presented by WellNow Urgent Care. No experience needed. You can upgrade to Team Tuck and your child can skate at KeyBank Center with Alex. Register now at sabres.com/learn-to-play. We promised Amerks GM and Sabres Associate GM, Jason Carmanos, here on Sabres Live. Great to see you, Jason. It's, much talked about here with the Sabres' run of points of late. The Amerks are off to a terrific start as well at 7-3. What's been your personal kind of big story so far early this year?
Big story is we're finding ways to get points in Buffalo, which is really important when you have this kind of start with a lot of injuries. You just have to find a way, and that's been hasn't been perfect. Sometimes when we've squandered a point or two away, but I like that the group is hanging in there, and I like in the early going that some of the young guys that have been coming along in Rochester have been able to contribute when needed. So that in the early going feels good.
Well, I do remember when I was in Rochester, Jody Gage was our GM, and when I would get called up and play well and return, or even if I stayed in Buffalo, like, he felt proud, right? It's like, oh, you know, it's like I was one of his kids. And so when you see Zach Roseanne gets his first NHL goal, and then the next night, like, Noah Austin gets his first NHL goal, and the way that they've played, is there a sense of pride and fulfillment of what the work that's been done in Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, you're happy for them. They're putting in the work. They're on their development path. You know, there's no set time schedule for each player. I mean, they're all different. And so you, as an organization, have to keep that in mind as you go along here. You know, I love the way those two here, they're looking more comfortable. You know, they're still not, you know, at the level, I'd say, you know, on a daily basis. Strength for both of them is still something that could improve. But I like the mindset, their approach. You know, they're a little bit more confident out there. You know, Rosie seems to want the puck like he wants the puck in Rochester now. Yeah. So that, you know, that doesn't come overnight. You know, Noah's very responsible, but now he's starting to make some plays here and there, getting a little more comfortable to play the game that we've seen him play in Rochester. So good signs, you know, like before Kozak got hurt, I thought he was flying and playing well and doing his thing. And, you know, so you know, those are guys that spend a ton of time in Rochester, obviously. So, yeah, you like to see that over time. That's what we're trying to do. So yeah. It does make you happy to see. It makes you happy for them first and foremost because they're putting the work in.
And included in the most recent run of players scoring their first NHL goals, but he's older, but he was still incredibly valuable when you brought him into the Amerks last year, was done. So, like, there has to be this art, right, to team building and all roles. What can you say about Josh and what he's meant organizationally here in the last year and a bit?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's just, first of all, just his leadership in Rochester right from the start, coming in from a different organization. The way he carries himself, I'm sure you guys know, he's just a pleasure to be around, you know, day in, day out, comes to the rink with a smile on his face, works his tail off all the time, plays hard, you know, like, you know, it's taken him a long time to score that goal, but geez, it was, you know, talk about being happy for somebody, you know, and he can, you know, he just, you know, he's the type of guy that's just going to contribute, in some way. He's going to find a way to help the team, you know, and he's still adjusting to this level. I mean, obviously there's some limitations that have probably kept him out of the league, but you know, he works at it. He's a smart player. He's determined. He competes like crazy. So, I mean, those are things our team needs. I think his presence has definitely helped, you know, in this situation where we're grinding for points, and we're getting them, you know. Yeah. Like I said, it's not pretty all the time, but the important part is that you're getting points.
The million-dollar question, and I'm sure that it's a situation that's a little bit – unique, but there were six goalies between Rochester and Buffalo. And most of the people would want to know, like, Devin Levi is 5-0 and going to play tonight. So they want to know, how's Devin doing? How is he making the steps? But also, what are we to expect now with, you know, picking up Colton Ellis on waivers and Lukanen being healthy and Georgiev? Like, there's a couple of prospects in Leinonen and Ratzlaff that are a part of this whole situation too.
Hey, you're a goalie. We just can't get enough of them. We just, you know,
love. Well, I know, but now I'm worried they're going to come for my job too. So that's the problem. There's too many of them.
Yeah. You know, you can't predict, first off, like, you know, we had some things up in the air to start the year, you know, yeah. UPL's injury status. You can't predict who might be coming down the pipe as a waiver guy that you could put onto your roster. You know, when we obviously brought in Georgiev, there was lots of uncertainty for UPL. And, you know, he's a guy, Georgiev is, with 300-plus starts in the NHL. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of experience. So, and he was fine in training camp. He didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion. But a young goalie comes along that we've got time for in terms of scouting reports and the numbers to this point in his young career. And, you know, we felt like we had to take that opportunity to pick him up, you know, since he's had some, you know, minor ailments that have kept him out since he played his first game. But I think the important part is that we're still feel like we're maybe not totally out of the woods in terms of, you know, making sure that, you know, UPL is healthy, ready to go. I mean, he feels good. I don't mean to indicate that there's anything wrong, and he played well the other night. You know, Lion played great last night, obviously. So, you know, it's just a situation that we're managing, knowing how important the goaltending is. You know, we can deal with a less than ideal situation in terms of having numbers. Rather have depth than a lack of depth, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is it something that you have, like, discussions on, like, a time frame as far as, like, kind of how long you stay with this many players? Or is it so situationally driven by not only your own organization, others?
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's just, you know, a situation that, you know, it admittedly is not ideal from a number standpoint. You know, it can present some issues in terms of our roster management on a day-to-day basis, and all of that is not ideal. But, you know, it's superseded in, you know, in my mind with, you know, the interest in making sure that, you know, if we've got talented players that, you know, could help us, that, you know, we need to be mindful of that as well. So, yeah, I mean, not ideal, but at the same time, like, you know, it's a situation that we're managing mm-hmm. right now. You know, the three goalies in both places yeah. have great attitudes. They're great teammates. They understand what's going on. Yeah. And we're just, like I said, focusing on the positive aspects right now, but you know, at some point we may need to deal with it, but we're not feeling the need to deal with it, before there's, you know, something that we, can't get around.
Mm-hmm. How's Devin Levi? And I mean, I can talk a lot about the on ice. Like, I feel like he looks bigger. He looks stronger and a little bit more under control, which is some things that needs to, but how is he now, you know, seeing that there's three guys in Buffalo and having to be, you know, down in Rochester, with, and I would assume, and I know the kid has a great attitude you just mentioned, but how do you see that being helpful for his development for the future?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the position, you know, is difficult to establish yourself, difficult to, you know, be in the NHL as, you know, either a starter or a backup or a 1A, 1B, you know, either spot, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. So, mm-hmm. you know, here's a guy that came in and played so well right out of the gate, and played a lot of good games for us, but you know, it's hard. You know, I my opinion is the position takes time. You know, and I think Devin understands that. He wants to play first and foremost. He wants to be the best goalie that he can be for his whole career. You know, what's happened in the past sort of water under the bridge, in my opinion. Yeah. And at this point now, it's about him playing a lot, and continuing his development path. I like what you said. I do think he's stronger. I do think that he's been really consistent, and you know, sort of like some economy in his movement, I think, in the early going, that at times he's a competitor and he's a tremendous athlete, and at times he's maybe a little too active, and you know, pucks are you know, kind of bouncing a bit off of him, and so those are things he's working on. I mean, that's, you know, he's got so much ability, as we all know, but there's other aspects to this, as you know, being a you know, getting to the point where you're the best goaltender you can be at the National Hockey League level. I mean, you know, he's been in the fire already, to know that it just keeps coming night after night, and so it can beat you down. You know, and so I think we're mindful of making sure that he goes through the proper steps in his development to be the best goaltender he can be.
Real quick, with all the talk here with Buffalo of Oslin and Rosé in the last couple of games, big opportunity for Konsta Hellenius here to be the 1C for the Amerks tonight against Syracuse, and you know, however many games moving forward. Where's he at?
Oh, he's having a great start to his season. I don't know, 4 or 5 grade A's a night. You know, everything red line forward is really, really good. You know, still working on his overall game. And that, I mean, playing center primarily this year, you know, he's 19 years old. So, you know, like we're cognizant of that, and that development on the, you know, defensive side of his game, you know, faceoffs, you know, down low play, just reading, reacting in his own end. That's still a work in progress, as it is with most every young player. So, but he's off to a great start, you know, building on the way he finished in the playoffs, quite frankly. And in that series in Laval, he was our best player. And that's really saying something for an 18-year-old in that environment. So, yeah, we think he's got loads of potential. He's off to a good start, but he's still developing his all around game.
Oh, I you know what happens when we, like, I'm listening and I'm looking at his stats and I'm looking at the impact that he's having this year, and knowing that, well, Roseanne is, is in Buffalo and Austin is in Buffalo. And now you're like, okay, that is a learning experience for Consolanius. Now, you know, he's still small in his stature, but he goes to the spots. Like, and you said there's not really any set time for development, but what can we expect for him over the next couple of years to say, like, size wise and maybe some of that physicality coming through, because I think it's there.
Yeah, it is there. I mean, he showed that in the playoffs last year in Laval there, which is a very tough building to play in, and certainly not afraid of the moment, not afraid to, you know, to play in the hard areas. You know, he's not tall, but he's, you know, strong on his skates, and he knows how to hit too. Like, I mean, some guys just, you know, like he absorbs contact well. You know, so there's some natural, I think, strength to him. Like, he's a thicker body, but yet he still has lots of room to gain more strength. So, you know, that's different from Oslin. He's obviously a much slighter body. And they're basically the same height, you know, Konsa is a little bit taller. But you know, strength is key for any young player. I mean, some players a little bit more physically developed. I think he's strong already without being physically developed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an area of growth for him as well. Moving his feet more, you know, like, I think he's been able to play like in Liga and other levels, you know, thinking the game through, slowing it down. And there's time and place for that at times, but when he's at his best, you know, Konsa is moving his feet and going and dictating the play. Getting him to do that consistently shift after shift is still a work in progress. You know, some of it may be conditioning and, you know, just developing that tank over time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Noah, same thing with Rosie. Like, these are young guys, and, you know, takes a lot of audio to play against the men in the NHL.
It does. We'll look forward to watching Hellenius and company tonight in Rochester. Jason, thank you so much for the time.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Jason Karmanos, Amerks GM, Associate GM of the Sabres. We've got a special Hockey Fights Cancer auction going on right now, benefiting Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. It runs through November 9th, and you can bid on all kinds of stuff, including autographed items, used sticks from warmups, and you can just head to sabres.com/auctions to get involved. We'll wrap Sabres Live right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Fun show. Thanks to Sarah Nurse and Jason Carmanos for joining us. And we are ending with both of us being disturbed from last night. What happened?
I'm so disturbed. In overtime between Minnesota and Nashville, my good buddy Marcus Johansson, he gets an opportunity with the wide open net and he misses, and then he gets a second opportunity. But by that point, the net has been dislodged by the goalie Justus Annunen. And the league reviewed the play in overtime, obviously. The referee counted it a goal, and they said that it was a good goal because the action of the goaltender made the net being displaced, and there was an imminent scoring opportunity. I'm saying, number one, somebody's got to understand that Justus Annunen is not trying to dislodge the net. He's trying to play his positioning. Reverse VH, push across. If the net comes off, it's not his fault. He's not trying to knock the net off. And number two, Marcus Johansson missed the net. He hit the outside of the net, and then he got his second opportunity. That's not an imminent scoring opportunity. I'm sorry, but you got to determine that better. They got hosed. They got hosed. Nashville got hosed last night.
Imminent chances. There's going to be an alteration of the rule book next year.
That's a Latvian correction with an S.
Imminence chances. Imminence chances. My goodness. All I could think of the entire time, what if the Stanley Cup was awarded on this play? Anyway, tough spot as always. That's pro sports. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry.
With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.